not on air yet. According to the light, I don't know.
Am I done?
He better not be on a job interview or something. I can't take Michael and Jeremy at the same time.
So we're ready to go. Just unmute your microphones and we can go.
I am good to go.
Okay, could you push it towards your thing?
Okay. All right, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, May 3rd meeting of the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Bright?
Here.
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Here.
Director Linda Austin?
Here.
Would you please stand if you are able and recite the Pledge of Allegiance? Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everybody okay with the agenda as published?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, then we shall proceed to public comments on items not appearing on tonight's agenda. So I will open up public comment without a whole lot of fanfare, because there is no public, and I will close public comment, bring this back to us to move on for the consent agenda, item 5. This is items 5A, approval of warrants, and 5B, approval of meeting minutes of April 5th, 2023. Do we have any questions of staff?
No, thank you.
No.
All right, then let's open up public comment. Okay, that was great. Let's close public comment, and
I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Your motion is second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Right, that takes us to our action items tonight. 6A is a public hearing to adopt a resolution of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board with a board of directors making certain findings with respect to the cogenerization revitalization project. Yeah, I got that out. Okay. Sir.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent, filling in for Jeremy, our district administrator, in his absence. The item before you today is for a public hearing to adopt a resolution of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors making certain findings with respect to the cogeneration revitalization project. Staff's recommendation is to adopt the resolution 2023-446, authorizing the district administrator to execute a contract for implementation of the wastewater treatment plant cogeneration revitalization project with PG&E Southland in the amount of $163,000. Some background and discussion. The district and the PG&E Sustainable Solutions Turnkey Program began investigation of the existing cogeneration system at the wastewater treatment plant in late 2016. The results at the time of the preliminary assessment indicated that revitalization of the cogeneration system was viable and would provide economic and environmental value to the district. Based on the preliminary evaluation of conditions at the time, which plant equipment and operations, gas production, plant electric load, and existing utility tariff options, it was estimated that a properly functioning system could offset approximately 80% of the plant's electricity needs. For the purposes of this proposal, we have revised our initial assessment to account for current conditions relative to plant operations, energy consumption, utility tariffs, and the overall market condition for construction. Based on this revised assessment, we estimate the turnkey implementation cost for a cogeneration project at the wastewater treatment plant utilizing a 190 kilowatt cogeneration system is $3,110,000. In addition, we estimate that the cogeneration system will reduce electricity costs by $183,000 per year after the plant's redundancy project, redundancy upgrade, and natural gas costs by $38,000 per year. The estimated utility cost savings would pay for PG&E's implementation cost in approximately 14 years. It is important to note that the overall construction market has experienced dramatic cost increases due to many factors associated with the pandemic. Factors that have put upward pressure on construction costs include general inflation, equipment and material shortages, long and unpredictable lead times, a tight labor market, and an above average level of construction demand. The estimated turnkey construction cost reflected in this proposal has been developed to appropriately account for both the marketplace risk reflected above as well as the risk associated with unknown conditions at the plant. Following completion of the investment grade audit, risk will be fully assessed and reflected in the firm fixed implementation proposal. It is also important to note the Federal Inflation Reduction Act has authorized incentives for projects that address energy and carbon reduction. Initial federal guidance indicates that this project could be qualified for some level of funding from the program. Project qualification and potential funding will be evaluated in the investment grade audit phase. The Sustainable Solutions Turnkey Program was developed by PG&E to assist customers in implementing projects that reduce energy consumption, improve operations, and lower utility and other operating costs. The program delivers an end-to-end turnkey solution for project development, procurement, implementation, and funding through a simple and defined process. Through this process, the district has complete control over solution development and equipment selection with clear transition points between each defined phase. The district has no obligation to implement a project until the final cost proposal is submitted and approved. The investment grade audit is intended to validate the technical, energy, and cost estimates identified during preliminary assessment. The services required to complete the investment grade audit are defined in the scope of work below. Following completion of the investment grade audit, the district will be provided a firm fixed cost proposal for turnkey implementation of the project, which would then be subject to district approval, including approval by the district board. The scope of work, just an overview. The South San Luis, the district has engaged the Pacific Gas and Electric Sustainable Solutions Turnkey Program to replace its cogeneration system. This proposal focuses on the proposed work required to assess the appropriate mechanical and electrical design for the cogeneration system and all its required subsystems. The outcome of this work will be a fixed price final proposal for a cogeneration system, which will offset plant electrical and heating requirements by utilizing the available biogas resource, which is currently being flared by the plant. Just some existing conditions. The district's wastewater treatment plant treats the waste streams from the communities of Oceano, Royal Grande, and Grover Beach. The plant is permitted to treat a peak dry weather flow of 5 million gallons. Treatment of the waste at the plant requires a combination of mechanical, chemical, and biological processes, each requiring a significant amount of energy. Based on data for 2021 through 2022, the plant used an average of 1,424,342 kilowatt hours of electricity each of the last 2 years with a peak demand of 233 kilowatts, resulting in an average annual electric operating cost of approximately $268,000. However, the plant's electricity energy use and cost will be increasing in the near future as the new systems from the redundancy upgrade project are put into service. Based on design information for the upgrade project, we estimate that the plant's electrical use and cost will increase to approximately 2,220,000 kilowatt hours and $493,000 per year using the rate effective in January 2023. Additionally, the plant uses natural gas from SoCalGas for digester sludge heating as well as space heating and hot water for the control building. The plant's natural gas bills for the period of January 2nd, 2021 through January 3rd, 2023 show average annual use of 35,156 therms and average cost of $48,171 per year. Based on input from plant staff, we have assumed that 90% of the plant's natural gas uses is for digester sludge heating, which results in 31,640 therms and $43,354 per year for digester heating. Based on available data, we anticipate that most of the energy needed for digester sludge heating can be provided by the heat recovered from a cogeneration system. PG&E visited the site on several occasions and completed a thorough energy survey of plant operations and maintenance. Their findings indicate that plant staff have been very diligent in their operations, maintenance, and equipment selection, such that current plant operations are extremely energy efficient. One outstanding issue is that the plant currently flares all of the biogas produced from anaerobic digestion. As a powerful greenhouse gas, biogas is closely monitored, may not be released directly into the environment, and must be disposed of in an approved manner. Flaring and use in the boiler are the only approved disposal methods currently available to plant staff. In 2009, the district procured a cogeneration system. That system was intended to use the excess biogas at the plant to generate electricity and provide the heat needed by the anaerobic digesters. While that system initially provided at least a portion of the intended results, it has not operated since 2012. Following investigations by staff and qualified independent engineers, the following is a summary of the factors contributing to poor performance and ultimate system failure. Those factors are inadequate gas treatment, ineffective heat management, misconfigured equipment, and excessive maintenance and premature failure. It should also be noted that neither the performance nor training level of plant staff were identified as contributing factors to the system failure. Following review of the situation by our engineers, PG&E concurs with the findings outlined above. PG&E's provided a solution and recommends replacing the non-operational cogeneration system at the plant. This system would be designed specifically for the plant's current configuration, gas flows, and characteristics. The delivered system would include all equipment, materials, and site modifications necessary for a complete and fully functional system, including the following major subsystems: biogas treatment, fuel intake compression, engine generator genset, heat recovery and management, noise suppression, electrical interconnection and protections, wiring, piping, concrete, and other required infrastructure, controls for engine, generator, and related auxiliary systems, integration of cogen heat recovery system with the digester sludge heating hot water system. It is important to note that all components and subsystems for the combined heat and power system will be sourced from one manufacturer who will bear full responsibility to manufacture, assemble, test, commission, and otherwise ensure performance of the entire system prior to delivery to the plant. Yes. If the system fails to perform as specified, it will not be approved for shipment. As part of the final firm fixed price, PG&E will provide engineering, design, permitting, equipment submittals, and financial analysis required to properly design and select the appropriate system for the plant. This effort will be developed through a collaborative process and closely coordinated with district staff. Staff input from operations, maintenance, and administration will be actively solicited and considered throughout the process. PG&E will conduct a competitive selection process of qualified equipment systems and installation contractors, including the request to provide reference installations demonstrating successfully operating systems. Site visits for district staff will be arranged as appropriate. In close collaboration with district staff, PG&E will use best value selection to ensure a cost-effective procurement of the most qualified options available in the market. After development of the final pricing and acceptance by the district, PG&E will furnish, install, and commission the complete and properly functioning system, including project management, construction management, throughout the project. Following installation and commissioning, PG&E will provide all training and documentation required for the successful operation and maintenance of the installed system. Post-installation maintenance. Following commissioning, acceptance, and staff training, the ongoing operations and maintenance of the installed system is typically a shared responsibility between the owner and the selected vendor. Vendors offer service options that allow the owner to select the amount of the service obligation they want to retain in-house and the amount they want to outsource to the vendor through a service agreement. The allocation of this responsibility is generally based on the customer's capabilities and available manpower. PG&E will work with the district staff to evaluate the available maintenance options and assist in determining the appropriate level of service required from the vendor. The district would then enter into an agreement directly with the vendor for the provision of service. The development scope of work, PG&E will complete the following scope of work in finalizing its assessment of the cogeneration system and preparation of a final fixed price proposal for turnkey replacement. In that scope is a utility analysis, digester gas assessment, engineering, equipment supplier selection, develop installation pricing, post-installation maintenance, rebates and incentives, deliver final fixed price proposal, provide or deliver a final fixed price proposal. Some fiscal considerations. The cost for the services reflected in this proposal is $163,000. The district has included that in the budget for this fiscal year. I just wanted to go over some of the procurement authority. The state of California has established ambition statewide carbon reduction goals. In support of these goals, the state has enacted a variety of initiatives and legislation that both promote and authorize processes that streamline the implementation of qualifying energy-saving projects. One such legislation is California Government Code 4217.18. This code defines the conditions under which a public entity can procure and implement energy projects with greater flexibility than typically provided for public works construction. Simplified, the code allows this procurement method when the estimated energy cost savings exceed the cost of the upgrade. Subject to validation by district council and approval by the board, the development and delivery of the project through the Sustainable Solutions Turnkey Program is compliant with both the letter and spirit of 4217. We therefore suggest that the board approve the end-to-end process. The approval resolution would authorize both the completion of the investment grade audit and the subsequent implementation of the work subject to board approval of final project cost and any related funding. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you.
Any questions? Any questions?
I have a couple, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for a comprehensive report. It really made it easy for me to understand what we're talking about here. So PG&E, we're going to rely on them an awful lot, sounds like.
Yes.
Do you know any other sanitation district that has gone forward with this type of a process?
We have. The city of San Luis Obispo actually went through the same process, and I believe the city of Santa Maria is either went through the process or is the city of Santa Maria has gone through this process. Excuse me.
Okay.
We've actually, the district and operations staff have visited the city of Slo's outfit to check out their installation.
And so you feel real comfortable with going forward?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. So then my other question is the fact that it will be sourced from one manufacturer and that the performance of the entire system prior to delivery will make sure that it's all going and it's the way that it should be so we don't end up where we were in 2009. Mm-hmm. Is there any cost associated with that while the manufacturer is trying to get this thing online and make it operate?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I can get back to you about that.
Okay, that would be swell. Those are my only questions. Thank you.
Thank you. It's not my first time seeing this one, so I don't have any questions. I'm just excited about getting one that actually might work, like maybe for more than 2 or 3 days.
Yes.
So that would be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great, and we'll see those initial cost savings. Another thing I think Jeremy had brought up before, but with our redundancy project, we could potentially have some savings at the end of the project. So we could put some of that cost, if not all of that, some of those savings to this project. So to help pay it off sooner. And so we're getting some of that, the savings back sooner than the 14 years as outlined in the staff report. So.
Excellent.
May I ask one more question?
Please do.
Thank you. What would you say, or if you know, what is the life of this cogeneration system?
Do you know? That I'm not sure.
You would hope it's longer than 14 years.
Yes, yes, yes. No, definitely. you would hope for say like 20 to 30 years, but I can't say for certain.
Okay. Thank you.
It may say a bit way deep down in there. Okay, well, let's go ahead and open up public comment. Seeing no one coming forward for public comment, we'll close public comment and bring that back around to us for a comment and or a possible motion.
Well, I'd just like to say I am really pleased to see this come forward. I think it's just a remarkable idea where we can actually use energy that's being spent for nothing to actually be useful. And I'd be ready to make a motion whenever you're ready.
Why don't you?
Okay.
You had a couple nods.
I move that we adopt resolution 2023-446, authorizing the district administrator to execute a contract for implementation of WWTP Code Generation Revitalization Project with PG&E Southland in the amount of $163,000. Wow, that was tough.
We have a motion, a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. That takes us now to... did you have something?
No, I just said that's great. I'm happy that this is going through.
This is our District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Are you giving us both tonight, Michael?
Yes, I will. I'd like to present it in its entirety and then answer any of the board's questions. Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, Plant Superintendent. The item before you today is the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. This report represents ongoing information on the latest district staff activities on major capital projects and studies, programmatic initiatives, regional collaboration, miscellaneous activities, and plant operations. Just a quick update on the redundancy project. We have had some delays on our blower valves and DO probes, which may impact the startup operation schedule. The project team is has met to attempt to resolve any overall schedule impact from the delayed material above, and the project continues to remain within budget. Some miscellaneous items. The district administrator continues to meet with the Central Coast Blue general manager. The district is developing staffing schedules for 24-hour operations for approximately 4 to 6 weeks during the establishment of the new plant process and biology. Some future meetings scheduled for the remainder of fiscal year 22-23 will be as follows. We have a meeting on May 17th. The June 7th meeting has been canceled, and then we'll have a meeting on June 21st. I believe the June 21st meeting is the last meeting we'll have in Arroyo Grande before we relocate, correct, if I'm not mistaken.
Oceano.
Some plant tours. Oceano Director Linda Austin and OCSD Board Member Shirley Gibson toured the plant and construction on April 6th. And Grover Beach Director Karen Bright and alternate Clint Wyrick, I hope I said that correct.
You did.
Toured the plant and construction on April 7th. Some tentative items. We'll have a draft budget to your board on May 17th for your review, with a final budget for review and approval on June 21st, along with a review of the personnel policy manual. Moving on to the plant operations report. This plant operations report is for the reporting period of April 1st through April 28th. The district's facility exceeded its MPDS permit limit for daily maximum fecal coliform. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has been notified. A report on exceedance is discussed further in this report. All other process values were within permit limitations. Our monthly plant data is recorded in this table below, and we've made a special note for the exceedance of our fecal coliform greater than 16,000. But again, all other process values were well within permit limitations and have returned within permit limitations following the exceedance. Staff completed a multitude of operation and maintenance tasks. We checked and marked underground service alerts, prepared the Andrews centrifuge for shipping to vendor facility in Texas for repair, prepared drying beds for use while repair was being conducted on the Andrews centrifuge. We ran piping, wiring, and set up polymer pump system in preparation for the Sharple centrifuge. We assisted vendors with bringing the Sharple centrifuge back online. We continued using sludge beds for dewatering biosolids until the Sharple centrifuge returned to service. We troubleshot and began operating our Sharple centrifuge for dewatering biosolids. We installed the pressure transmitters in the heating and mixing building, replaced battery on our 6-inch trash pump, assisted with the setup and installation of our Android centrifuge after it returned. We troubleshot our Android centrifuge and returned to service. Staff completed multiple work orders and performed a few preventative maintenance items. Staff participated in training on the heat exhaustion and heat stroke awareness and prevention, the Generac generator system and equipment, the Airzen blower system and equipment, the variable frequency drive system and equipment. During this reporting period, staff had a few callouts. We had two callouts, one on April 21st and April 22nd regarding a high ORP alarm. Upon arrival, operations staff responded and the system had already corrected the issue. After acknowledging the alarm, the operator verified that all equipment was functioning correctly. Monitoring of the system continued until trends returned to normal. We have not had a call out regarding our high ORP since. Sunday, April 23rd and Monday, April 24th, we had two alarms in regards to a motion sensor, unauthorized entry. For this alarm, the dispatcher for Stanley Security identified the alarm as an unauthorized entry alarm. There is no indication of an entry or attempted entry. This alarm tends to be triggered by either insects or rodents in the building. Staff is monitoring the building for any indications of pests and will take appropriate action if any are identified. In regards to our exceedance, on April 20th, the district recorded a fecal coliform bacteria of greater than 16,000 MPM, mean probable number per 100 milliliters for April 19th. The cause of this exceedance was due to a low chlorine residual. On April 19th, the district's redundancy project electrical contractor performed a temporary splice into the communication cables of the district's chemical pumps to perform a permanent tie-in to the communication cables. After the splice and verification that equipment was operating normally by district operations staff, a fuse blew on one of the communication cables, which caused an interruption in communication to the chlorine pump. This interruption caused the chlorine pump to stop working for approximately 1 hour. At approximately 11:15, operations staff noticed the ORP of the inlet channel of the chlorine contact tank was in decline. Operations staff then immediately began to troubleshoot the issue and found that the chemical pump was not operational. The chemical pump was then placed in manual and the electrical contractor was notified. After investigation, the district's electrical contractor discovered a blown fuse and replaced it. Once the fuse was replaced, operations staff returned the chemical pump to normal operation, at which time ORP levels began to return to normal. Later that day, at approximately 1:15 p.m., the electrical contractor completed the permanent tie-in of the communication cables. With the permanent cables tied in and all major excavations for the redundancy project completed, the district does not foresee a recurrence of this issue. So for our 2023 non-serious violations, we've had an exceedance on February 15th and February 21st, and then now on April 19th, this takes us to three exceedances. If we have a fourth, that could constitute a mandatory minimum penalty of $3,000. Another thing to note is that we're going to be going into commissioning of our new process. We have reached out to the water board and what they can do. They understand that when you're starting up a process that there is the potential to have these exceedances when you're just bringing up a new process. So we've essentially signed a waiver. We still have to note the violation, still notify the water board, but they won't necessarily fine us for those for any exceedances during the startup of our redundancy project. So I just wanted to make that special note. The two February exceedances fall off in August. The April exceedance will fall off in October this year. I have included some pictures of staff. In the first picture, we have operator Mario DeLeon and operator Justin Music getting rid of some of our old metal piping. In the next photo, we have operator Mario DeLeon and operator Billy Romhild and operator Justin Music cleaning out or setting up our sludge beds. In the next photo, we have operator DeLeon and operator Justin setting up a sludge bed. In the next photo, that's our Sharples centrifuge, and we have operator Chris Rigoni, operator Billy Romhild, and operator Justin Music putting our centrifuge back together to get it up and running. Temporarily up and running. And then in the next photo, it's same operators. We have operator Justin Music, operator Billy Romhild, and operator Chris Rigoni. And the next photo we have, let's see, we have M&S. We have Eddie Williams from M&S. He is our inspector on our redundancy project. He was watching us as we performed the installation of our centrifuge once it returned from repair. And just some more photos of the installation. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions?
No, thank you.
Any questions?
No, great report.
I have questions, but I have to go back to the district manager's report, or district administrator's report.
My question is on the delays on the blower valves and the DO probes. So I've been reporting to my council for quite some time that we are on time and on budget and even ahead of schedule. So now I don't get to say that at my next council meeting.
We're doing everything we can to help those delays. We just had a meeting today in regards to the delays, and we're looking at ways that we can kind of help with that. And it's basically with manufacturers' delays in the valves and the DO probes. So the district and our general contractor, Phelonc, are reaching out to other manufacturers to see if we can expedite that process.
So what if they can't? How bad is it?
I'd say we're delayed. I want to say it's September, early September. Yes.
It's supposed to be July.
It's supposed to be June.
Yeah. July, mid-July.
Well, it's supposed to be July, but we were looking at June.
Yeah.
All right. Well, may the odds ever be in your favor as you look for other manufacturers.
Yes.
These are not things our guys can just whoop up over in the shop.
Yeah. We're doing everything we can, I assure you.
Oh, man. So what does that mean in terms of if we're delayed, is that going to cause other delays?
It could potentially, yes. Delays in startup and commissioning, it could, yes.
And does that have a fiscal component to that?
Yes, it could. Yes, it could.
So who do I have to bust heads with here? I'd like to know, like, maybe at our next meeting, if you could ask what the financial implications of that are.
Okay. I'm trying to recall when, I don't recall when our next redundancy project update is.
It's now going to be on the 17th.
I will definitely notify Jeremy and make sure that we have some kind of update in his district administrator's report.
That would be great, because our expected startup date would be before the next sanitation district after the 17th. In other words, we've got a big gap in there. So I'd like to hear it on the 17th of what's going on and what the implications are, so that I can report out that we're not going to hit maybe what we thought we were going to hit.
Will do.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I know that's not your fault. All right. So that concludes questions. Let's open up public comments, see if anybody has questions. Okay. So they don't. So I'm going back to the agenda. Sorry. So this takes us to our board member communications. We don't have a administrator communications, but maybe you had something to share with us.
Yes. I am going to be going on leave, so I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce our interim plant superintendent, Michael Arias. He will be filling in for me in my absence. I have full belief in his capabilities and, of course, our operations team. I'm going to go have a baby.
That's so awesome. When are you due again?
May 31st.
That's quick, right?
Yeah. It's right around the corner.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So excited.
Thank you.
May you get sleep someday.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Board member communications, any?
No, thank you.
All right. Well, then that takes us to adjournment. And just a reminder, we will see everyone in 2 weeks right here. All right. See you soon, everybody.